Welcome back to Fun Town, everybody. To open up the show, here's Jeff Oskey and his beautiful
Cheers to my Fun Town friends and family. I'm gonna start the show with a little shot of the fireball. Here, let's get
nice.
The camera. Come on over. That's
yay,
all. Oh,
click it.
She's so pretty. She's just giving us the shot glass.
Couldn't even get a hand. She didn't have her good bracelets on.
She's out. Love you.
That was awesome. How sweet of her.
No dogs in Fun Town. Get that dog out of here.
Hey, what a week, you guys. What a week. I want to hear from each and every one of you. Because it's been a busy week, I think, for all of us, because we've not communicated since we ended the recording last week. So let's go around the little square here, and we'll start with Jess. Jess, what's been going on with your week?
I tried to start some yard work, starting a nice flower bed outside, and all I have now is an even ground. I got the weed blocked down, and that's it. It started raining, so it's just brown carpet thing in my yard, but yeah,
nice.
What? That's about it.
Are you a gardener type person? Do you have a green thumb?
My mom had a green thumb, and she always was planting stuff. So I try, but I really hate bugs. Like, I loathe them. Every time a centipede crawls out under a rock, I'm screaming hysterical. If there's a spider, I try to save the worms, but I've cut so many in half. I'm like, well, I multiplied you. If anything, I'm sorry. But she was really good, so I try. But I. Allergies and scared of everything. So
my mom has a green thumb too. I'm not sure it translates because I suck at it myself, but I think that's just because of my lack of watering and nurturing. I just put them in the ground and like, hey, good luck.
You make it, you make it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Perennials that don't need any attention, like cone flowers and stuff like that. It's great. You don't even really have to water them. It's like, have at it, guys.
Yeah. I'm great with ivy. I have ivy growing. Yeah, nice. You don't have to really take care of ivy. It turns out it just really grows at an incredible rate on its own. So maybe I'm just going to do all ivy. I don't know. Oskey, what's your week been like?
So, Jess, I have to tell you this, and which, by the way, I think women are far better with like plants and stuff than guys are.
But, I assume.
But like landscaping, like getting the beds ready for plants and stuff, like that shit's hard work. Like turning the ground, edging, moving the rock. Usually there's some shitty rock you have to move and stuff like that. And so when I moved in with my girlfriend, I landscaped for like 7 years, and the front of the house was just unacceptable to me. And so we decided. I lined out some beds and cut them out and, you know, removed all the sod and,
sure.
I was like, hey, come out and let's do this together. This is going to be fun. And I think she made it to like 11 a.m. and she goes, you did this for a living?
Oh.
And I was like, yeah. She goes, I'm out. I'm done. Like, this is not fun for me. I don't enjoy any of, like, I'll come back and help you plant some plants, but
yeah.
I'm out. This is not enjoyable.
It's
you can't underestimate
work.
That prep.
No.
It's a good way to start a fight. Donnie didn't really do planting and stuff. So he's like, well, what do you need help with? I'm like, well, I need to get all these weeds out. Let's do the best we can before we put the weed block down. Sounds counterintuitive, but why would you not just try? And he's just like raking all of it. And I was like, stop. You're just putting them in deeper so they're going to grow better with bigger roots. And so, yeah, then he walked off and he's like, don't micromanage me. And I was like, I'm not. I appreciate your help. Yeah. But let's slow down. And then we worked together and it was delightful.
Weeds are like terrorists. You have to eliminate them completely. If you only wound them, they come back stronger and with a vengeance.
Yeah.
That's what I've learned anyway.
That's a great way to put it.
Well, you know, I compare everything to terrorists, actually. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple formula I use.
Is that since Die Hard? You've basically been making
ever since Die Hard. All my comparisons are terrorist based. Oskey, what's your week been?
I need a timeout.
Okay.
Hold on. I'm sorry. Shit's going haywire at my house right now. Hold on 1 second.
All right. Go deal with it. We'll go to Austin. Austin, what's your week been like?
So we've got a new like computer system at work. And the training is done by people in India over the internet.
Oh, wonderful.
It's gone really well, actually. But I got to tell you, working at a company in Indiana, you never really know how this is going to go. I mean, I'm just going to say that. You don't know what exactly is going to happen. And everyone's been very classy. So I was just, but that's been interesting for sure. Well, because they speak fast, man. They're getting shit done.
They do. And they're so much smarter. So like, you're like, hey, listen, you're going to have to say that all over again. I mean, you're really going to have to dumb this down for me.
I feel like they're all list people.
They're list people?
Like, they can make a list, then do the list.
Right.
Yeah, they're crazy.
I can make the list. I can't do it, though.
No. No, no way at all.
I don't like when they put you on hold. The customer service people.
All right, Jess. Let's ease into this hot tub.
Sorry.
We'll get a little warm.
Let's
not the Hindu culture.
Customer service people that, like, say I call my internet provider and they talk really, really fast. And I'm like, I don't think you're listening. I think you're reading off the book and you're talking around what I just asked because you don't want me to cancel. And then they say, let me put you on hold. And I'm waiting, but I can hear everyone in the background. And I'm like, you just put your phone to the side.
You didn't even put me on hold.
And so, because I should be able to hear the music. And so then I'm just like, oh. And then she's like, I looked into it and it looks like we've already done this for you, yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, you did nothing.
She ate her sandwich. Oh, yeah. Like, man. Literally sat there and ate her sandwich. And I wonder what her she headset. Did.
Because you should be able to hear other people behind you.
That would be a great reality show. It's just like cameras on the customer service people to see what they do when they put you on hold. Like if they don't really do anything at all or not, and they're just like playing solitaire, or they get on their phone and they're just Facebooking or something.
We make a game show. Out of
I want to see.
Make a game show out of it. Oh, really? And you secretly pay the person listening more and more money as you pepper in little things to let them know that you're not doing your job.
Hilarious.
See how long they can last.
Oh my gosh.
Now, I know when I used to work at the brokerage firm, I had like one of those headsets and like a belt clip, and I had like a mute button, and it'd be like, that's right, Mr. Johnson. Let me look right into that for you. And then I would just hit the mute and be like, you dumb motherfucker. How in the fuck can you not read that goddamn statement, you old crusty piece of shit? Let's take a look here, Mr. Johnson. Yeah, it looks... the line that says dividend, that would be your dividend payment. Yeah, that's exactly. You stupid motherfucker. Of course that's your dividend payment. Back to it. Oh, yes. Let's take a look at that. Yeah, your interest. Yeah, that would be the interest you earned on your account this week. Yeah, that's yeah. Well, the markets fell a bit this month. So yes, it's going to be a different number every month, sir. Mute. You stupid son of a bitch. Who doesn't know how to read a fucking bank statement?
You don't even know what you got involved in here.
Oh, yeah. And as I'm walking through the office and everyone, I just did it for the benefit of everyone I worked with. And we would all have a lovely chuckle.
Nice.
That's hilarious.
Wow.
That's
leveraging your whole career on how well like a 2-cent switch operates. That's incredible.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. And that's incredible. I never messed up once ever.
Why aren't you stockbroker Jeff anymore?
Well, first of all, it takes like 80-90 hours a week was what I was putting in. It's basically, you aren't a stockbroker, you're a salesman of products that analysts come up with and tell you to sell. And you're a car salesman, but for stock. And I hated, and you, there's times when your company goes, oh, we don't want you to sell this position. Like, let's say Procter & Gamble, we have it as a hold. And you're like, oh, I think we should, all my fucking clients should get out of it. And they're like, well, we don't agree with you. So don't. And then you hold your client's money. And then he calls you 6 months from now and goes, you just lost half of my retirement savings because blah, blah, blah. Well, I never lost that much, but you know, like even 10%, you feel like a fucking piece of shit. So I would just never sleep. I just take it way too serious when I would lose people money.
Well, yeah, so
like, I could make you $100,000 and then lose $5,000 of it and not sleep for 2 days, even though you're still up 95. I felt horrible that I lost your money. Like, I just couldn't handle it.
I do feel like that's one of those jobs where the lower your like moral ceiling is, the better you are at it. You know what I mean? Because that's you would have to have no conscience whatsoever. Because that's how I would feel. I mean, I could never sell a car to anyone because I feel like I would be so afraid that once you got it, you would hate it or something would go wrong with it. And then it would be all on me, because when I buy something like that and the shit goes bad, I put it directly on the salesman myself. You know what I mean? Even though like you didn't make the car, I get it, but you're the fucking dude that sold it to me. You know what I mean?
And I mean, it's totally stressful all the time. Like even when it's going good, you're just, but basically, your whole job as a stockbroker is to acquire more money for the company.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, and basically what I did was handle, like, I worked for brokers as, like, below them, handling their 90%. All your money comes from your top 10% of your clientele.
Sure.
But you have to handle the other 90% as well. That's where I came in. You know, if you called one to talk to your stockbroker, well, you didn't get to talk to him. You had to talk to me because you only had $100,000 with us.
We'll see how bad you want to talk to your stockbroker.
And then 5 minutes with Jeff. Yeah, if shit goes awry or you're being a total asshole, then I'll have them contact you. But normally I can handle whatever trade or whatever you need advice, you know.
Right.
Most people weren't looking for advice. They, you know, they're like, this is going down. I want to sell it. We don't think you should sell it. I want to sell it. Okay, cool. It's sold.
There's your money. Like,
but every person you meet, they're like, oh, I saw you talking to so-and-so. Did you give them your card? Did you get some money? You know, they just want you to acquire more money.
I mean, you have to be like Tom Cruise in that, or what, the Leonardo DiCaprio, like,
yeah,
Jonah Hill,
and
in that
like
movie.
They were dealing with futures and stuff. I mainly was stocks, mutual funds, bonds, and like insurance and stuff. But
you were in a boiler room where you set up for a month and then you
I worked for the exact opposite of that. Okay. Yeah. Like no cocaine. Like I was the craziest person in my office.
Did you have the beard?
Oh God, no. No, I didn't look anything like this. But
so landscaping was after this.
Oh, way after this.
Oh,
this
was like
my
there.
This was my mid 20s and early like 32, I think, is when I got out of it.
Going out, getting it done, right?
Didn't you start a coffee house?
Yeah, that was my great idea. After the brokerage firm,
you've had
I left
so
the
many jobs.
I That's left what the I'm brokerage saying. Firm to open a coffee house, which I was way less successful at than I was working at the brokerage firm.
What was your coffee house like?
It was called the St. Joseph Coffee House. It was at 13th and Alabama in the St. Joseph neighborhood. Uh-huh. And it was just your typical, kind of like the Abbey, if you ever went to the Abbey in Indianapolis. Just, you know,
it's
nerds,
a cool
dorks.
Spot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but Starbucks opened like 3 months later down the street, and me and my business partner kind of had a falling out. Which, come to find out, I just found out that motherfucker's homeless now. So fuck that guy. I couldn't be happier. his wife left him. I couldn't be happier. I told you piece of shit. Fucking karma would come back on you. I couldn't be happier.
So it
just found
false.
Out like 2 weeks ago. Like we have
it's
a
so
mutual
great how
person.
Much you've moved on from this, Jeff. The amount of healing you've done since then is incredible.
Austin, I went from being a stockbroker to sleeping on my girlfriend's couch because I not only was my business partner he was also my landlord. I immediately lost my coffee house and my place to live within 3 days. So I kind of that was like the lowest point of my life.
Man.
And
wait, how old were you then? At your lowest point? I'm just because I feel like you've gone so high.
33, 34.
That's wow.
It's a great age to start all over again.
Yeah.
So.
That's when I had my kit. Like, I ended up having a kid and working at Old Point, which got me into comedy, which got me here.
Nice. Look at you.
Long story short.
Good for you, though, chasing that dream, because I won't do it now because after hearing your story, but I always thought the coolest thing in life would be if I could take off and move somewhere warm, like Florida maybe, but Northern Florida, and open a coffee and pie shop. Like, we only serve coffee and pie, and that's it.
And I did coffee and muffins. My thing was muffins.
That's just as
cool. You make them?
Yeah.
You made your own muffins?
Made my own muffins. Baked them there fresh every morning.
Wow. You were living the dream, dude. Did you wear flip-flops every day? Well, you can't because of health coach.
No. No, but I did build out the entire thing. You know, me and my business partner, we did all the, you know, I went to the auctions, bought all the equipment, you know, designed the, you know, we designed the inside, built it out. Did the whole thing. That's and you know awesome. What? It's not that hard. You can open a restaurant pretty goddamn easy. It was a lot cheaper than I thought it would be. Like, it's not that hard. Like, you know, but we didn't have like fryers and shit like that. Like, we had an oven, a prep table, like a slicer,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, a couple of espresso machines. And that was
good for you, though.
My coffee shit.
So you lived it. You always have that. You always have that in your past. You always have that story. Yeah, yeah, I went for it.
I went out and tried it, but I think everyone should. Had I not been, you know, the set of circumstance, let me tell you this: it's way easier to follow your dreams. Like, if you just don't give a shit and you know you just don't mind failing, like, you can go out and do some cool shit.
Dude, I did. I chased it, becoming part of those three comedy clubs, and you know, fucking sucked my life savings, but. Yeah. Other than that, like, it was a good ride for 3 years. It was like, you know what? I don't give a fuck. Like, I would have.
You were a business owner.
I could have lost the stock money in the stock market. I could have, you know, failed 401k, another divorce, whatever. You know what I mean? I've lost my life savings twice before. So it's like, at least, you know, that for 3 years, I got to learn a lot about comedy. I owned a bar in three different states and. You know, I got to meet a lot of cool people and it was fun. It was fun. It was worth it. Like, if you took that money, which is not a lot of money, my life savings, maybe I lost $40,000, you know, like,
yeah, that's but about
if you stretch that over 3 years, it's like, that's not a lot of money, really. Incredibly, like you said, it doesn't cost as much as you think to get into business. Now, you're going to fail because the only way to make it is if you have a huge bank account
of money. Yeah,
to get you through those first 3 years. but yeah, it's fun. Dude, my week. So,
dude, what are you building in your backyard? Yeah. Like, I heard, Todd's building a bar in his backyard. And I thought, like, you know, like one of those little tiki bars that sits off the edge of your porch,
right? Mm-hmm.
Or your pat, you know, your deck that's built in the corner that one guy stands behind. He's like, look at me. I'm at my tiki bar. Like, step on up. Who wants a drink?
So, you know,
this thing's pretty good size, too.
It's a little house.
It's huge.
Like it's like the size of an airport bar. It's like a Chili's Express that you're building in your backyard.
Right? Oh, that's a theme we should have went with. Damn it. It's good.
Gosh.
You know, it's like it's like a 10 by 12 shed, and so decent sized shed. And when we first got started, I think we were all, and I think we mentioned it last episode, like Sean Latham came in. Did we mention this last episode? Maybe not. But if not, Sean Latham came in and he, you know, he has this idea for a new show for Bristol Sports, and he's like, I got to put a pilot together. And it's all about like going to people's homes and jazzing up and sprucing up their home bar. So whatever space you have that you consider your bar, like you'll blow it out. Right.
Nice.
So he and I have always talked about, because I have this cool shed with a covered porch that I didn't do anything with since we've moved here. It's just the house of spiders. That's all it is. Like, I have a quiet
spider
farm going on. Yeah.
House of spiders.
So, other than that, it's some mice maybe living there. But other than that, nothing. So, we had this vision and we were like, oh, it can't be that hard, right? But once you get going, and then, you know, the concept continually evolves and grows. You're like, oh, but what if we did this? And what if we do that? So now, like, our budget has gone from here to way out here. And then our schedule, like, that was going to end here, and now it's extended to way out here. Like, it's almost like a regular bar in my backyard. It was just supposed to start as, like, this simple shed conversion. And it was kind of like Pimp My Shed, you know, and now it's like, nope, this is almost like a real bar, like you would see on a patio to the bar that you love to go to.
And so what's the flashiest thing you're putting in this piece?
So we took two sides of the bar, the front of it, this is mm-hmm. the 12 foot side that faces the house. We cut out the whole wall and the corner and rounded the side wall out. So it's a continuous open window, and we end up getting this cool, like, 4x6 post to hold it up in the corner. So the bar is continuous. It runs in an L and covers half the shed. So if you're the bartender inside, you can slide, you can probably seat 10 people at this bar.
Yeah, no.
And yeah.
It's an easy shift.
Because that's what you need in your backyard. You know, I'll use that all the time. There's just going to be nonstop people in my back drinking all the time.
I say, we're going to record an episode there when it's all done, right?
And yes, we definitely should. We'll move all the equipment out there on a nice night, get it all set up. But that will be cool for filming and shooting stuff back there, I think. Now it's like its own backdrop. But other than that, it's just going to be me and Marnie at this giant bar, just sitting there drinking.
That's what I was,
you know,
every time I look at the progression of this, I'm like, this bar holds more friends than I have, than I want to have over at my house ever, like at once. Like, I'm cool with 10 people coming over throughout the year. Yeah, but not all at once. No, that's too much pressure.
That's a problem when you do stuff with your friends, because you get to drinking as you're building, and then you just this energy grows from, you know, and you're like, oh, we can do this. Like, if I was just dealing with a contractor and he was throwing me quotes, I'd be like, all right, no,
dude, let's cut that part out.
Yeah, but when it's you and your buddies, like, I got, so Sean's been here all week. My buddy Rich Reagans came up from Louisville to be our general contractor. So love, he's been Rich. Here.
Awesome.
And then my buddy Booz, that used to work for us at Pat McAfee Inc. And now he works for Barstool. He's right across from me right now, running the live stream podcast for them right now. But he's been here all week. So we're throwing back Yinglings, and the ideas just get bigger and bigger. And now I sent you guys a picture. That's what we're dealing with now. It's
crazy.
Going to take up half my yard.
It's awesome.
Anyone get hurt yet?
Not yet. No, mate. Like, I am so sore, though. That's one thing I learned about, like, yep, I'm 48. And yep, I've not been taking care of myself. Because I see, like, these, like, some guys came and redid the roof today. They re-roofed it, and then they took the shingles off the covered porch.
You got a roof crew out?
It's grown. What? It's grown. So
what do they do, about 40 square feet for you?
Exactly. So I had these.
You couldn't roof, the two of you couldn't roof a barn yourselves?
What do you think your roof is? A quarter square at most? What do you think?
Well, it's a 10 by 12 building. So it was, I tell you what it was. It was in total, it was 6 bundles of shingles. So what's that tell you? Not a lot.
I had 2.5 on my chicken coop. I know.
A doghouse is like 2 bundles.
So did you just know somebody who is a roofer, so it's easy that way? Or did you bring in an outside, like, hey, do anyone here know a roofer guy who'll come over and roof my shed?
Exactly. We got a friend that works. He's a roofing contractor. And he's like, hey, I know we got these two guys that have not been working all week because of the rain. And I can get them over today if you want them to do that. And it's this much. And I'm like, I'm so sore and we're behind schedule. And I'm like,
do it.
That's just the amount of money that makes it worth it right now. So yeah, tell them to come out here.
And is Sean doing like asides with all these people as they're doing stuff?
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's entertaining them. He's like doing a whole set in front of the shed to these guys. One of them doesn't speak English, so he's not getting it. But you know, It's incredible. But when you watch people like that, and I'm like, boy, that only took you guys like 3 hours. And I'm like, that means that would have taken me 3 days, you know, because I kind of know what I'm doing on stuff, but I just kind of know. So there's a lot of trial and error and figuring things out where that's all they do. So they just get up. I'm like, oh, well worth the $300 or whatever it was. Yeah. Well worth it.
Now, then, oh, sorry. Do you have electricity out there?
Oh, yeah. Jeff, we got electricity.
Dang.
Did it have electric or did you have to run it?
Oh, no. No, we ran it.
Oh, you ran electrical?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. So did you dig that out by hand or did you get a trencher?
No, we ran it along the lowest rail of the framework for my fence, my privacy fence. Exposed. Come out of the garage and it's just like a nailed.
Conduit.
Yeah, just a little. Actually, we used that real thick grade wire and it's just tack nailed. Underneath the lowest board in the framework of the fence, it runs into the shed.
You pay for professional shingling, and then you half-ass the wire along the bottom. Austin, how do you feel about that?
That is horrifying to me. You got to get that wire buried at least 18 inches down in the ground. Run it right, Todd. I see some sort of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation moment where your whole fence just catches on fire in a wave all of a sudden.
I have so many pine trees, too.
You got six
wood.
Blenders going in there, and all of a sudden you look at, you're like, anybody smell smoke? And then your whole fence line's just going up.
Raining out there, and squirrels are going to randomly be dropping off the top of the fence.
There's no way I'm ever going to be able to sell this house because I won't be able to afford to put the pub shed in code to code.
Oh, no.
Like it's like Sean and I
would sell it like an adventure, Todd.
I know. Well, that's kind of what we did today because Rich Reagan's had to go back to Louisville for the next couple of days. So he's gone. He has the most construction expertise out of everybody. So today, Sean and I put out a video just like, hey, if you know how to build decks, hit us up, man.
You got a deck to build still?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I might just creep outside your house when someone leaves. I'm like, hey, you need some work? I need some steps done on my deck. Because they're like hanging on by a nail. And I'm kind of like, no. Let's just see how long this will last. At this point, I'm in because it's just like leaning. Uh-huh. But I'm like, I think it's still got another year.
What's that app that you can that's like in different cities they have
Home Advisor?
No,
Next Door.
Yeah, but it's just like you can hire a handyman for the afternoon. Like, oh, like you can go buy IKEA furniture and you don't want to put it together, so you just go on.
Yeah.
There's different people.
It's kind of like Fiverr, but for construction stuff.
Yeah, can go online and find like people who you like. Oh, I need my steps put back on my deck, and five people will bid on it. And you can be like, oh, I'm going to go with George the handyman, and he'll come over and put the shit back on.
I think it is Home Advice. I did it for a tree cutting, and then they all come out and their guts $1,000 to trim and treat. And I'm like, I just want to cut down, but no one would give me that quote. And I'm like, I hate you all. So I just
trees are so expensive to cut down, man.
Yeah,
my neighbor had it. He had one fall, and he had to have it just cut up and removed, and it cost him $3,500.
Sick.
Oh, yeah.
That shit's heavy.
I'm like, don't people just come cut it up to keep it for firewood?
Cut it up and I'll roll it away or something.
No, you
know.
Hillbilly.
Yeah, not on this side of town.
That's
Todd.
Where I grew up. It's like you just called Joe Blow that had heated his house with a stove. And
that was my dad. You would call and we would come out on the weekend. We would borrow. This is how poor we were. We would have to borrow my neighbor's truck because we didn't have one. And we would go and just cut up firewood all weekend and load it in his truck and then come and dump it in our yard. And then the next weekend, we would split all of it and stack it for the next two or three weekends because we heated our house by wood-burning stove my whole childhood.
Wow.
It sucked ass. I will never cut another piece of wood. Fuck wood.
Where'd you live?
Fuck
Jeff?
The rainforest.
I lived out at just
the frontier somewhere.
No, my dad's like an engineer. Like he built our house from scratch. He built the wood burning stove we used.
Yeah, like, built the wood burning stove. That's
He did. He welded the entire thing. Like our wood burning stove. Not only that, it heated our water.
Oh, so wow. You had the big, huge unit thing.
It was, I mean, it was pretty, but that was the thing you did before you went to bed. Be sure you stock the stove so you don't wake up freezing your ass off in cold water in the morning.
But my buddy has one of those big, like his whole house runs on it, like year round. Oh, yeah. And it's huge. It's like a giant ass safe.
Yeah, that's how ours
wood
was.
Burner. Yeah, yeah. And it controls it. It heats all his water and everything. Yeah. That's incredible. Yeah, so that's how I grew up. I'm like, you just know when your tree falls, you just call somebody that needs firewood, and they just remove it for you. Yeah. And here, $3,500.
Yeah.
Welcome to the big city.
Well, I mean, just to go and, I mean, just to load all that wood up, I mean, you're looking at the trucks. You have to pay the insurance on the trucks. Like, there's so much that goes into, and those tree guys, those are the baddest ass motherfuckers you'll ever meet. You will not see a set of full teeth among a crew, but they are bad. They all have tattoos. They all just got out of prison and they all don't give a shit.
I was just going to ask too, what's the insurance on dangling a guy up in a tree with a chainsaw? That cannot be cheap.
No, it's going to sound gotta like be a, up there.
It's right under bungee jumping. Like it's the bungee jumping people that travel, set up bungee jumping. Right. So, and then,
let me get this right. You're going to hang him from a tree and the tree's kind of dead and he's got a chainsaw. Yeah, we're after crunch some numbers on this. This is insane.
Like on landscaping, we would come across tree crews sometimes. They would people working on the property at the same time. I like, you know, the lighting guys, fuck those guys. You know, you're in my way. Yeah, I'll get to moving. I'll move when I'm done here. Fucking tree guys are like, man, you're in my way. And you're like, I'll move that right now, sir. My bad. Like, you didn't fuck with tree guys, man. Those dudes looked like they would kill you in a heartbeat.
Boy, you better get your post hole digger out of here before I fucking drop a nightmare on you.
I'm capping. Dude, they're just, the chainsaws are, I can't start. It takes me 20 minutes to start a chainsaw on the ground. These motherfuckers are starting them 40 feet in the air, holding them one hand and like laying off the side. Those dudes are badass heroes.
I can never get mine started. And Rich Reagan's, he brought his and he in one pull.
Every time. I think I'm you got to be a chainsaw guy. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you got to grow up around chainsaws, get used to them.
There's something about the pull. It's kind of like the first time you ever try to shoot a bow and arrow when you've never done it. And you watch people that do it all the time and they pull it back so easily. And you're like, and your arms are shaking. That's how I am with a chainsaw.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Don't fuck with anyone who gets a chainsaw going on one pull. Just
that's a good philosophy in life.
My dad was like so cocky because he'd always like cut down trees because we're in the country. You just drop a tree in your yard. It's fine. Right. Whatever. Right. There's nothing around. Yeah. But he would be like drinking, be like, watch, I'll drop this tree right on this can. And one time I think he was two gone and then end up dropping it on the fence. And he was like, shit. But then he'd be like, well, Jessica, you want to, let me show you how to do this chainsaw. It's real easy. Let me show you how to start this. He's like, and then as I'm like literally putting my foot on there and trying to do the stuff, he goes, but make sure you don't like, I don't know. I forget what he said. Make sure your foot doesn't slip. You can, you know, to come up and I'm like, what? Yeah. I'm like, I don't think you should be teaching me anything. This is awful.
Dad balls. That takes some dad balls to go from.
The teaching was before the tree fell on the fence because he has done it before. And it was like, oh, that's impressive. But when he got real cocky and he's just like, well, here it goes. Literally puts the cup out in the field and it's like, and you're 30 degrees off.
One of my neighbors cut down his own tree. The first house I ever owned, we had these giant, kind of like the neighborhood I live now, but these giant old trees. And every now and then you would just be watching TV and you'd hear, whoom, and your house would shake because a tree would fall. So one of my neighbors had one that was like, you could just tell wasn't going to last very many storms. And so he went out there to cut it and he did all the spiking and stuff to get it to go and, or with the wedges to get it to fall the right way or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what he did wrong, but we heard this. It sounded like a bomb went off. And so I walk out of the house and Bailey was real little. So I'm like, let's walk up the hill, buddy, and see what's going on. So we go walking up. I thought we were off a highway. I thought maybe it was a car crash or something. So we get up there and he dropped this tree over his brand new Ford Explorer and just smashed it down to the frame. Dude, it was like bent upward. That's how big that tree was.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine? And you, like, you know, that's now going to cost you $3,500 to remove the tree.
Yeah.
And you just destroyed your brand new Ford Explorer.
What year was this?
This was probably 97.
That's a big Explorer year.
Yeah, and it was the Eddie Bauer, the Eddie Bauer.
Oh, he had the Bauer. Oh, he dropped a tree on a brand new Bauer. Fuck. I hope his Nokia phone wasn't in there. That thing was probably fine, though.
That's another $12,000.
Yeah.
So my deck guy that finally volunteered, he's coming tomorrow, and I told him the plans, and I sent him some pictures or whatever, and he goes, yeah, I don't think it's up to code. And I'm like, yeah, code's out the window. This is how it's going down. So we'll see. It's kind of like extreme.
I don't think it's up to code, to say the least.
What kind of bar equipment are you going to have?
We're going to have like a fridge for beer, and there's going to be a sink that you actually can run the hose to and hook it up, like a quick disconnect to it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have a sink that's plumbed out with a drain. And we might get the ice tubs, like the stainless looking ones behind the bar.
Horse trough?
That's really what I should get.
Jessica did grow up in a small town.
You know where you pour in the Everclear and cut up the watermelon?
You know where you and your horse get drunk together?
You can just fall asleep right there on the straw. It's nice and comfy. Or wait, is it hay? Horses eat hay. Yeah, you lay on the straw, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
I think a barn bar. I know what you're talking about.
You know. Did you guys have, Jeff, did you have a barn at your place?
No, I need a barn so bad.
Barns were so much fun. My question is,
where are you plumbing this to? Where are you running your gray water to there, Todd? Just running it out into the middle of the yard?
I'm thinking it's going to go through a hole in the side of the shed and then maybe curve under the deck, maybe out to the fence line and just dump into the woods.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm pretty sure that's illegal.
You running bar wash out to your property line?
Are you going to get one of those? Are you going to get one of the drink washers? You should get the. Oh, Todd, I'm telling you. So, and they've probably gone up a lot in the last 14 years since I bought a 3-tiered sink for my business. But I got one at auction for like $120.
Like a 3-tier one of those sink?
Yeah,
one of those step like mixing a three thing?
Kind of like you have like a little ledge for all your glasses, and then you have like a soap sink and a rinse sink, and then another ledge on the other side. I think I got one used at like the restaurant auction, which, by the way, there's gonna be a lot coming up for sale. So you can probably get them dirt cheap.
Yeah,
stick one of those in, your whole side's already done. You don't even have to worry about like building countertop over there.
That would be cool for sure. And Sean was talking about that because he was like, you know, you can just dump the glasses real quick and wash them out and set them. And I was like, yeah, I'm pretty much a solo cup guy. I don't know if I need glass.
Plastic.
But I think for sake of just it being cool, I think we will get one of those. Because he's saying we can get it that cheap. I think
that Friday Night Rush hits, you're going to be really glad you had that high-speed cup. Right? I mean, it's about getting drinks across the bar at that time, baby.
I know.
You just get Marnie back in you, unless you think she's a better face for the operation. But I mean, you guys have a lot of hustle to put in when you have what, 2-3 people over? How many people do you know, Todd?
This whole bar is going to be for the reveal party where there will be a lot of people here and no one will ever come over to my house ever again. It's just going to be.
The funny thing's going to be when Marnie's sitting in a bar and Todd's bar backing her. Hey, hon, I need another case of Miller Lite. I'll be right back. Todd spends whole night running back and forth to the cooler to go get more restock Marnie.
Todd's on that website. Trying to hire a guy.
Yeah. Oh, where'd Todd go? He had to go buy Marty. More limes for Marty.
I can probably do this for about $1,000.
I'll tell you what, though, the waitresses that like would tend bartenders, I guess, and they had like the what is it, the bottle cap opener and the little holster on the thigh. I thought that was so cool.
Church key.
Oh, I loved it.
Oh, what if I had a full-time bartender? Wouldn't that be so cool? Just all the time back there just for me and Marnie. Just,
oh, that would be so.
It's like Sunday at 1 o'clock and you're just there.
He's no just sitting there reading a book. Oh, hi. Hello, sir. No, oh, hi. What can I get for you?
Back there stuffing blue cheese olives all day or whatever the fuck you make him do.
Oh, Oscar, your old friend needs a place to live, right?
Yeah.
There you go. Let's bring him in. He's homeless now. He can make coffee. Yeah. Put a little coffee center in there. Do you have
dude,
to have
I'm
more
so
yingling?
Excited about your bar.
It's gonna it's really cool. Like it's way overdone.
It's obnoxious
for the sake
I love
of the
that.
Show. But
do you have any stuff left over from any of the clubs? Like do you have that frozen drink maker thing?
Dude, do you know how bad I'm fucking kicking myself? Because when we shut down Morty's, there was all this shit. And they're trying to like find people to take it. And I'm like, I'll take a bunch of the booze, but I'm never going to use any of that shit. And now like we had a two frozen margarita machines.
Yeah.
That I could have had both of them. Legit. Nobody wanted them. So we sent them like to an auction, probably got like $50 a piece for them or something. And I'm like, God damn, dude, I could have had everything. I mean, everything we ever wanted, definitely like. I could have had the whole thing decked out with the wash sink and the ice cooler. And, you know, we had all the beer fridges that, you know, that only go waist high and it slide with the glass tops. We had probably 4 or 5 of those.
And
kicking
see,
myself.
Kids, this is what comes with having the courage, like Jeff said, to not be afraid to fail and lose your life savings a couple times over.
Yeah.
This is an inspirational episode. Like, I'm super motivated to go do something in my yard. I was super excited about a flower bed that just got a freaking weed carpet thing on it right now. Uh-huh. And you built like a little house in your backyard. I feel like I need to fix the hydrant and, well, maybe not my deck steps. I'm still holding out, but you know, other things.
Right.
Like, gosh.
How bad are these deck steps? Are they pretty spooky?
I mean,
yeah.
If someone was really heavy, I'd be like, please don't use the stairs. I don't want to have to pay. The railing on the deck also, like, it's there, but it's kind of decoration. So if you lean on it, it's at your own risk. Yeah.
But how's the footing on the deck? Like, does it still feel solid? Like,
I think so. And I can't
everything
tell.
Up and
I don't know how to read it because, like, I mean, there's wood, right? The wood's still there and it's not moving, but the bottom of it, I can't tell if it's rotted at all or if it needs replaced. Like, do you need to dig down deep and change everything out, or can you kind of like
it depends
cut corners maybe. And just throw some more wood around it?
Do you get a boat vibe when you're standing on your
no I have more of a boat vibe in my upstairs bathroom. It's on a slant. The water doesn't drain to the sink in the shower. Really? What do you call it? Not the
goes
sink.
To the other end.
Like the drain and the shower is in the middle, right? But after the water, like when it's on, it's going to hit. But by the time you turn the water off, the rest of it's just over here, to the right of the drain. And I'm like, damn. So then I put like a screwdriver on the floor once and I'm like, how bad it? And it, before I even finished, it's like, oh, there it goes. Just rolls to the wall. I'm like, huh. I think our house is settling.
Yeah.
Slash there's like water damage. It's pretty bad. I should probably just move.
That's what I do.
We'll send Sean to your house.
So he can turn your
bathroom into a bar.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you're comfortable with putting a couple taps in here and a refrigerator, I think we can get this bathroom fixed.
You can just tack this electric wire right along the shower. And,
Now, my brother's old house, he had a someone was giving away a hot tub, so he got the hot tub, he put it on his deck. He's like, you know what the hot tub needs? I need a beer tap where I don't have to get out of a hot tub, I can just refill my beer. Mm-hmm. So he went and found a keg cooler and then like a whole compression unit, put it in his garage and ran a tap all the way to his hot tub. So he could just fill beer while he was hot tub.
How much beer is he wasting running out that line?
that was the funny thing. He used it for maybe 2 kegs, and then it just never got used again.
That's my thing, too, because we talked about putting like a tiny like draft system of some sort in here. At minimum, a kegerator. But I'm like, dude, after the first keg, I'll never get another keg. I just know me. Like, I like bottled beer.
Yeah,
but can you put a swim up jacuzzi next to this bar?
Ooh,
Oh, that would be cool.
Okay, looks like Marnie's on the team now.
Marnie wants a hot tub so bad. Like, I think that's a girl thing. Like, every girl wants a hot tub, right?
I'm not trying to brag.
I'm 50-50.
Okay.
My family, me and my brothers and my dad, we built this lake house. My dad built it. I handed him tools. Anyway, we got it done. Year before last, joking around, we're like, hey, when we get in the hot tub? And my dad's like, you know, I've been kind of looking at hot tubs. And we're like, okay, let's be obnoxious assholes and get a hot tub. He got a hot tub. And I got to tell you, I never thought I would be a hot tub guy. Fucking love that goddamn hot tub.
Is it relaxing?
Awesome. I love it. I love the hell out of it. My just kids got in it last weekend and just played in it for 2.5 hours because it was like 40 outside. So they just used it like a pool.
Yeah.
And I get in it for like 20 minutes, hit the jets on the back. Oh, heaven. Wow. Oh, my gosh. I'm a hot tub guy. I never thought I'd be like, get a hot tub. You will love it. It's fantastic.
I'm definitely not against it because I've never had a bad time in a hot tub. I can tell you that. Like, it's, you know, I don't think anyone has a story like, yeah, one time I sat in this hot tub and I got out and I was all pissed off. You know, your day only gets better after soaking in a hot tub, I feel like.
But I do feel hot tub invites, at some point, it's going to cause a situation with someone, whether it's another couple or your girlfriend or your boy. Like, somehow there's going to be mischief or something that's going to cause a tear or a riff in a marriage or a relationship when there's a hot tub involved.
Because everybody gets horny when they sit in a hot tub.
Eventually, somebody's going to get drunk. Somebody's going to go in and pee. You come back out. Your buddy's sitting a little too close to your girlfriend in the hot tub. Then you what the fuck? Why are you sitting so close to Ted? Oh, he was telling me a secret. What kind of secrets do you guys have to tell?
Yeah.
If you say it in front of me, then you can't say it. You're always jealous, Ben. Fuck you, Teresa. And then it just goes to shit.
Yeah, I could think of a few fights I could pick for no reason whatsoever, except for it's just I want to.
Yeah.
That's all I'm telling you.
I think it's a good
question. Women don't want to. We don't want to have to pick the fight. We feel like you just don't know any better, and we have to tell you over and over again. It's out of love, though.
This is some of the most incredible podcasting journalism ever.
Right?
See, we can't say this, Todd. We bring this up. No. No, you're wrong.
This is the difference, the scoop between men and women is Jeff has a very good point. I think when you say hot tub, we should get a hot tub, a guy and immediately thinks, oh yeah, I'm going to have sex in a hot tub. Where a girl's like, no, I
yeast
can
infection. Relax with it. It's not as, you don't want to do it in a hot tub, ladies. Do not do it. Okay. Don't wear jeans that are wet. Also change out of your bathing suit. After you work out, change your clothes. Don't go shopping at Target for an hour. These are all very important hygienic things. Sorry. Don't do it in a hot tub.
Jess's segment. Welcome to Pussy Pointers with Jess. All right. Let's pick up where we left off last week. Wet jeans. It's a no go. That's
oh my gosh.
Your khakis, canvas, anything thick like that. Corduroy. Not a good idea.
One of my friends, I remember she disappeared. We were at the club and I was like, where the hell did so-and-so go? And come to find out, like, she emerges 30 minutes later, and apparently she got fingered by some guy on the dance floor wearing blue jeans. And I'm like, ew, do you know how sweaty you probably are? That's disgusting. And the whole time I just kept thinking, you got fitted, fingered in denim. And I was like, that's disgusting. And I felt bad because I should be like, yay, you go, girl. But I was like, ew.
No.
I jeez. Like how the fact that your friend getting fingered in the middle of a nightclub didn't bother you. It was the fact that she got fingered in the middle of a nightclub wearing jeans.
I mean, ew.
So if she was in a summer skirt, then right. It would have been fine.
Jess is going to get assassinated by Big Denim. They're going to come in and be like, no, you're taking the fun out of denim, like, Jess.
You saying it's not breathable enough? Just saying. It's so tight. You know, when you get sweaty, it's just like. There's a lot that goes into it. Maybe you shouldn't. Don't get fingered at all on the dance floor, but definitely not in denim.
What do you get fingered anyway? What are you, in eighth grade? I mean, past fingering.
She didn't know him, so I guess, I don't know. I digress.
Wow.
Glenn Marenghi for the
what
best
kind of
time.
Monster was she out there dancing with too? Who the hell's like, you know what?
I don't even know.
I'm gonna finger some girls at this bar.
I'm not gonna lie, when we couldn't find her, we met a group of guys and we're like, dude, have you seen our friend? And they're like, we can't find our friend. And we're like, well, we narrowed down the possibilities of where they could be together.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Let me find my friend's fingers. Oh, yeah. There she is at the end of them.
I wonder if they yelled at him. Did she have on denim? Are you nuts? You just had wrist surgery. What are you doing? Talking?
Yeah. I can think about that angle.
No.
It's how you get carpal tunnel, is fingering people through their waistband of their jeans.
He probably came up and was like, hey, guess where I've been?
Sick.
And they're like, hey, have you been fingering someone in denim? That smells horrible. You need to go wash your hands.
Look for the guy wearing the bowling wrist brace smelling his fingers.
Oh, early college. Oh, my gosh.
You smell like vagina and the gap, which is weird.
Oh my gosh, was it dark denim? Because it rubbed off. You know, you're not supposed to wash it.
Oh, like, yeah.
With like raw colors. Denim. Oh my God.
Raw.
I haven't told that. I forgot all about that.
Raw denim dogging.
Man.
Anyway, hot tub. Raw
denim was this dogging. At BSU?
No.
Okay.
I didn't go to Ball State.
Oh, I thought you did.
She went Anderson to University.
Oh my God.
Can you not tell she went to a religious college?
I kind of forgot I was religious when I decided to go there. I went there to play softball. And then I was like, oh, so that private university? And I was like, that's more expensive. I should have just went to Purdue, but then I would have got fat probably because I wouldn't have done anything. So I played softball. Threw a no hitter. No big deal.
On the dance floor.
Yeah. That was a different set of friends.
I mean, you were a pitcher. Are wild.
I was.
And you threw a no hitter?
I did.
In a Division I game? Oh, no, they're Division
II. Division III?
Three. Oh, okay.
But it still happened. And it would have been a perfect game had the coach not decided to make a freaking substitution in the last inning. Because he's like, oh, I feel bad. Let's put the bench in. And it's like,
no.
And so I don't think I realized. Yes, it was a grounder to first, and she bobbled it. And I didn't realize, because I was a freshman. I thought it was just all over. And I'm like, well, that sucks. And then I walked the next person, and I struck the next one out, I think. And they're like, no,
so
it still counts.
You're just ripping burners out there, and they try to swap you out. That's horse shit.
It's like, I didn't realize I even had a perfect game going, I guess. Kind of forget. I don't know what
you weren't like
thinking.
Kevin Costner in that movie? Like when, you know, you're talking to you, clear the mechanism. And you're like, it's the whole movie is him pitching a perfect game.
Oh, my
gosh.
Wasn't
like that?
Clear no, the but mechanism?
I heard a girl in the dugout say, shh, you're not supposed to say it out loud. And I was like, I think they're talking about the no-hitter.
Nice.
But that's right. Look at me. I'm like Al Bundy, still talking about freaking.
You are.
I couldn't play college anything. I couldn't even play college. Like the school part of it. Like,
let alone college sports.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm cut out for all this walking. Teach.
Backpacks bother me. I'm not into it. How fast could you pitch?
I think the fastest was at like 63, but I had, because I have short legs and I didn't realize that was a disadvantage.
I noticed that. People always,
really?
Yeah, people, before I even knew you, I'm like, no, Jessica Alsman, which one is she on the show? And they're
long
like, you
torso.
Know, the girl with the short legs.
I'm
her
very
friend
long
got
torso.
Fingered. You know what I'm talking about? The one with your friend.
Oh, Fitty Feisty girl. Fitty. I can't think of a good F name. Frida. Fitty Frida. Yeah. So I had short legs, but I hit, I think, 63, maybe 65 occasionally if I was really awesome. But now, I was more of junk. I threw junk, which was awesome. I could hit. Oh.
The pitcher's mound's much closer to home plate, so that's the equivalent of like a baseball fastball. I think if my math is right, it's about the equivalent of like 87 miles an hour.
Sounds good to me.
What you,
I just totally made that up.
Baseball conversion chart there, Todd. Like, what?
Because we're 60 feet away. But there's nothing worse.
Speed is speed. It doesn't matter how far it is.
It gets there like this.
And we didn't wear masks. That's the most
thing I've ever heard you say, Jeff. Speed is speed, man.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, Christ, I'm not ever going to forget this Fingreen Denim
I've never wanted to be part of like a collegiate softball team more in my life. Like, I want to have like a podcast softball team now that we got this ringer. And right? I want to go out.
Oh, my God. Like, can you imagine if we showed up and she's just fucking ripping
fucking burners throwing down the middle fucking on smoke.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even have to be good at catching softballs because no one would be able to hit the softballs.
I played co-ed softball or whatever on the West End, and it's slow pitch. And I remember someone's like, "You pitch? Do you want to?" I was like, "Hell no!" Those dudes, if they get mad at you, they will try to hit you and be like, "That's what you get." Yeah. They have enough beers. I'm like, I'm gonna be in left field or right field, and cool, I'll back up. I'll do what I gotta do. They
really try to do that.
There were a couple of guys that could be turds.
No, guys being turds, get out of here.
Drunk and being a turd, yeah. And not necessarily, or maybe they tried to a line drive, and no matter what, it's like it would get really close to the pitcher. And I'm not good at the slow pitch and then run backwards. So I was like, hell no, I made it this long without getting hit in the face. Yeah. I'm not going to, yeah.
You know, Drew, what's his name? The comedian, he has the stutter.
Drew Lynch.
Drew Lynch. That's why he has the stutter, because he was playing third base and he played for the comedy club's softball team where he lived, Flappers or one of those clubs in LA. And he took a line drive to the throw. It hit his voice box.
Holy
and
crap.
The damage caused the stutter that he has.
I Are hated being on first and third. Like, anyone can just hit a line drive. Even if you're on base, just to run.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can,
happens all
At least
the time.
If I pitch it, I know where it's going to go. So if I let go, I'm like, that's going down the middle. And it's kind of like a cat instinct of like, help.
let me protect my face.
Yeah. But if you're like on third base or first, you're like, I don't know where it's going to go. I can't really see the, or maybe you do. It's just, that's scary.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens all the time.
That's why I don't play sports.
I couldn't today. No way. I don't have the hamstrings for it. They blow too easy. That ended my softball career was these hamstrings. Like, because I used to be really fast. And then when I, like, 205 me, try and like 44-year-old me trying to run out, you know, a grounder, blow a hammy every time.
Oh, dang.
Every time. So I was like, yeah. I remember it's so weird how your world goes full circle because – I was really into baseball. So the next step was softball when, you know, you couldn't play anymore baseball. So I played a lot of it. And my dad was a big, like, traveling softball player. And then
your dad was a traveling softball player.
Yeah.
There was travel ball.
Oh, yeah.
We knew guys that go to Canada, London or whatever.
Dude, softball was so big at one point. Like, my buddy that worked at Ford. When he got on the Ford, the big like A League softball team, nobody on that team actually had to work. Like, all they did was play on the softball team and get their time cards punched.
That's the episode of The Simpsons. Yeah, where it's like Daryl Strawberry and Wade Boggs. And gosh, they all joined the nuclear power plant
Power plant. Yeah.
Whatever.
That's a much different
dog shit history teacher because he's a great football coach.
So there was this there's kind of a window of time there where, like, in the same way with my son, where probably when my dad was early 40s and I'm early 20s, we're playing softball together because he still could play, right? And then a few years go by and I see my dad blowing a hamstring every time he tries to run down first base. And then when I started seeing it happen to me, I'm like, oh my God, I'm old. It's over. I remember it was like when it was happening to me, I just saw my dad, and that limp, you know, crossing the bag, like, and you're like, you're just looking at all your friends. Sorry, guys. We're not going to have a right fielder.
Maybe have a tilted pelvis. Apparently that can hurt your hammies.
I think it's inactivity. I think
I was trying to be helpful.
What does a bunch of sitting around do?
Yeah. There's a lot of atrophy in my legs right now from lack of movement. Yeah. It's a lot of sleeping and sitting. It's pretty much what I do now. So
I hate to admit it. My we were playing out in the yard the last week, me and the kids, and we were kicking the ball around with the dog. My dog loves to play soccer. Like, she's pretty good at it.
Really?
But we were, so we were running towards the ball, and my son's like, I'm faster. Like, so we decided to do a race. Like, oh, we're going to run, which was maybe 50 yards, 20 yards, yeah, not right. Very far. Just me and him and the girls are going to race. I got less than 5 seconds into it, and apparently my legs forgot how to run. Like, they don't work in the right order anymore, and I came down weird with my knee fully extended, like, and I was like, I'm like, what the hell? I forgot how to run? Like, I've lost that muscle memory? Like, I got smoked by all three kids.
Dude, there's one time, this is my most embarrassing moment in my cop career, but we were tracking a fugitive, we're tracking his cell phone, and I'm in the back of a Tahoe for like 14 hours trying to find this guy's phone, and finally the signal gets real strong, and I'm like, he's right around here somewhere, I think he's on the gonna be on the right side of the car, keep your eyes out that way. Look, and we pass this alley and we see a car matching his description. My buddy's like, there he is, he's parked back here in this alley. So we pull up a little bit, stop and get out. And when we get out, we get out in a hurry to grab this dude up. And my legs were not working from being in a seated position for 14 hours. And as soon as I walked out, I got my gun drawn and my legs give out. I fall face first. And my gun slides out of my hand and I'm like grabbing it. And I'm like, oh my God. And when I get up, my legs are doing this funky little, like they're half asleep, kind of like when you sit on the toilet too long kind of feeling. And so they're not working right. So I'm like, oh, and I'm hobbling around trying to catch up to everybody. Oh, God.
I just see Todd getting a review being like, all right, Todd, you see how we all show up with our guns and we look real intimidating? And then you just sort of tip over there, bud. It's really not what we're trying to have.
A little less Gumby action.
Oh, my God.
Todd, I think you're a little over enthusiastic taking that prone ground cover position that you went for.
I'll stay with the van. Make sure no one steals it.
I got you guys covered from here. I'm in the sniper position with my pistol. Yeah.
Maybe it's a good distraction. They're probably like, wait, what just happened? Did the cup fall? Should we help him? No, we'll keep running. Oh, there's another man still running.
Oh my gosh. Like, you never think about, oh, the cop's legs might fall asleep. You may get away.
I know. Like you never think about, hey, maybe we should stop the car once an hour and get out and walk around a little bit in case we need these legs. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. If I ever find a stakeout in front of my house, I'm just going to wait about 10 hours and then just go running out the front door right now. See how many make it up.
Oh, this has been fun, guys. Another good one. I love hanging out with you guys. So when it's not so busy, I'll be a little more social.
Hopefully. Will the bar be done by next podcast?
It will. And each of you are invited to the reveal, which we're hoping, I'll text you and let you know, but we're hoping Friday evening. Kind of, we want it close to dark because of all the lights. Maybe we'll pop the lights on because of all the electricity that we've ran illegally. We'll have lights out there, so we'll get it so we can get some shots when it's still light out, and then we'll get some shots as it turns dark. So you're all three invited.
I'm gonna plan for Sunday afternoon.
I think it might be more realistic.
just based on past projects I've done and right. I've been involved with. Yeah. I'm gonna say Sunday afternoon, but I hope for you Friday evening.
Yeah, I'll keep you updated, but you're probably right. Yeah, okay. For sure. But bring your significant others, Austin, and you can bring your kid.
I will not be anywhere around that bar. I am social distancing from all you crazy sons of bitches. I respect you. I'm hiding out in my house for the next 3 years. So
yeah, I don't think I'm gonna be allowed to bring my kid to your
to your Corona bar. Yeah.
You gotta serve Coronas.
Oh, and I got a package of some goodies too. That I have a new friend that brought my new hitman friend.
Yeah,
he's did I tell you about him?
Oh, yeah,
John Veazey. So he now
how
stops.
How did the
in.
Interview go?
Yeah,
like extended podcast. How'd the interview go?
Yeah, it went great. He's going to come back and do it again. And now he likes hanging out. So he stopped by the other day. He was driving one of those slingshots, you know, those fancy little cars, because he owns car dealerships. So he pops in the slingshot that he owns, and he gets out, and he drops off some goodies that you would really like, Jeff and Austin. Some edibles, some other things, and he hung out for about an hour with everybody while we were working, and good dude. He was funny, and the whole time I'm like, this is so bizarre, because he used to whack people was his job, you know. But you go for him for chasing the dream, you know. You went out and started your coffee shop. I started my comedy clubs. He went out and became a hitman. Who gets to do that?
And now he knows where you live and randomly stops by your house. That's not scary or terrifying in the least, but
Sunday at 11:30 at night. What do you mean it's too late, Todd?
Nope, I'm up. I'm back.
Come on, we're partying, dude. Okay, sir.
That's the thing. Like, he's one of those friends now. You can never be like, no, man, I'm busy. You'd be like, no, come out, drop what I'm doing. Just come on by, whatever you want.
He's going to drive by.
Softball team.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We should get him on the softball team.
We can put him as catcher, and then he can talk shit to the batters.
Yeah.
Hey, you line drive this adder. I'm going to fucking talk to you in the parking lot, you piece of shit.
We should call him the hitman, too, so when people ask us how he got that nickname, we can just be like, just Google him.
Yeah. Murder. Just we Google put him. It on the back of his jersey. It just says Hitman 5 on the back.
Let's all have fun out there, huh?
Yeah.
Just a game.
Especially you, John. Especially we're just here for fun.
His bat's got weird blood stains on the end of it. Yeah.
Looks like Lucille.
Weird dents in it.
I noticed all your team numbers just sort of go 1 through 10, and then his says 27. What's that about?
Dude, I'm excited for our team.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Hang in there. We'll announce the rest of the roster one per week until we have it assembled. Thanks for hanging in there with us, guys. As always, you guys, this is you're what it's all about. You're awesome, and we're forever, forever grateful. We're out.